The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. And KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Well, we began in Matthew yesterday with a genealogy that traced Jesus' family line from Abraham through David to Joseph. And with several kings in line, the earthly kingdom of Christ is established. His lineage, his claim to the throne of David, is presented right off the bat by Matthew. But what do we do about Jesus as the promised King of Kings, the one to whom every knee shall bow, the one we call Messiah? Well, that's going to be the job of our guest pastor this morning, Pastor Tom Handrick of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri, who comes here. I tell you, I'm glad you're not wearing a vest because you couldn't keep a button. Button, you are so proud to tell the world that you have a brand new baby granddaughter.
Yes. Granddaughter born about 3 weeks ago this coming Saturday, if I have it correct. My wife has been up there since a week ago Tuesday, and this is merely a stopping for me on my way up there right now. You see me sitting here?
You can't stand.
Actually, I'm in the van driving.
This is like Passover. You're standing here with your staff in hand, cloak over your shoulder.
That's right. So let's get this over with. I mean, let's get... wait a minute. What am I saying?
Now, you are taking a crowbar with you, I hope.
A crowbar. Would you explain that,
please? You're going to have to pry that child away from your wife just to hold her once.
That's true. And it's ironic. Our granddaughter, by the way, her name is Liv, L-I-V, Liv Grace. Liv Grace.
Wow, that's cool.
Was born almost to the day, 2.5 years after her older brother, who is Reese Jonathan. And, of course, older brother just thinks this is the neatest thing since chocolate milk or mom's apple pie or whatever.
That's great, but give it time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So it is. It's an exciting time, and I'm happy to be on the road again as I drive up to Minnesota to reunite with my lovely wife, to see my new granddaughter, visit with it's baptism weekend. That's what it is.
Great.
And so our two sons are also coming in. Liv's other grandpa is a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor as well, and he and his wife will be there. Their home pastor is doing the baptism, which is, by the way, technically correct, okay? But we're all coming together, and we're going to even take in a Garrison Keillor Prairie Home Companion show on Saturday night.
Great.
And just have a good time of it. And hopefully, when I return on Monday, I will return no longer alone, but with my lovely Frau.
Well, perhaps. It depends on if the baby comes with her or not. I remember how my mother-in-law was.
Very attached to both
my girls. It was...
And
thanks be to God that we have mothers and grandmothers that are willing to stay and help.
That's true.
And come and
That's
do that.
True, yes. How true. Yeah. Hey, I've got to share some good news with you.
Please do. I could use some.
Well, here it comes. Rain. Oh, wait a minute. You've been getting rain in St. Louis, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, we've had a couple of nice showers down in Perryville. Sadly, it's too late for this year's crops. But still, it's watering the earth. It's replenishing the earth. And as I drove up here this morning, I drove through some rather heavy downpours. Somewhere in the neighborhood of Herculaneum in that area, you know. Looks very dark out there, which will make for nice traveling today because it'll be nice and cool, you know. But
you're going north. It's clear up north. You'll be fine.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
This morning.
But I forgot to bring a coat with me. Now I'm kind of concerned about that, you know.
And that's proof that your wife is not with you.
That's right.
Let's begin with prayer.
Okay. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come to you this day giving you great praise and thanksgiving for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior. In and through him alone, you provide for us forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, because he was willing and able to live the holy life we can't live, to suffer what we deserve, to die on Calvary's cross, shedding his blood to cleanse us from all our sins, and to rise victoriously over sin, Satan, and death itself. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving be to you. So bless us now as we continue to study your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, considering the new birth into your family, you are in the perfect position to talk about a much earlier birth.
Well, you know, and this is really great stuff. I listened in a little bit yesterday to kind of see where things were headed, you know, that way I get a little in. Of course, with you, that could just be, I know Pastor Hendricks coming tomorrow, so I'm going to kind of go this direction, and then I'll come a different way with him. I know how you work, Roland. See? I see you. But what's really neat here, and you already mentioned a little bit off air, yesterday y'all dealt with his earthly genealogy. Today, we deal with his heavenly genealogy. So, by the way, see what I brought with me today?
Captain Catechism is here.
Yep, because this past Sunday, the sermon I preached had a major part of it from the Catechism dealing with what we're going to be talking about today. So instead of bringing my sermon in and re-preaching it, I just thought I'd go right to the source, the Catechism. And we're going to be looking at a couple of things out of this today as well. I guess I shouldn't turn away from the mic, should I?
Well, you can do whatever you like, sir. You're the guest.
So if I turn my back to you, that's okay?
Well, not sure. Well, who am I going to complain about? Yeah, you're here. That is the grace that God has given us. I mean, we are just thankful to God for your presence.
By the way, presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S?
I haven't gotten anything yet, so no, the other one.
Is there another one? You know, maybe is my presence a presence for you?
It is for me and the listeners.
Well, I hope so. Was it yesterday on Ask the Pastor, there was a bit of discussion about the name of our church body. And, you know, there are segments out there who desire to be either or segments. I always get a little disturbed with that. By the way, this is going to segue into what we're doing today. Either or stuff gets us into trouble. That draws lines. That makes contention and competition, all these things, which serve the devil's purpose. I'm here to suggest for everyone who is concerned about the name of our church body and wanting to change it to the International Lutheran Church and eliminate Missouri Synod, why can't we do both? Why can't we just add a word and call it the International Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? And thereby capture the international identity that it has and yet retain the unique identity that people have come to know us by historically and even in the present.
Well, if we did something like that, we wouldn't be baby boomers now, would we? We want everything our way.
Oh, postmodern individualism. Is that what you're talking
about? Well, that's, you know, sadly, that is the culture in which we've been raised.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we better get into the text.
We should. We probably should.
Let's go for it.
All right. Well, and to that point, and you mentioned a segue.
Yes.
When it comes to the birth of Christ, this is something that you've heard me talk about that we really like to emphasize here on the Bible study and the other programs. You've got to be careful because we so often, much like the Pharisees, want the Christ we want and not the Christ we get.
How true. And, well, first of all, I'm going to apologize up front to you so I don't have to do it when I do it. I'm going to be somewhat rude today, and I'm going to be interrupting you quite a bit as you read. So
that's quite fine.
Please, if that gets not healthy, let me know, and I'll reel it back. But there's some really good things going along with what you just said. Today's text reveals to us the Christ that God had in mind for us and gave us. Not necessarily the Christ that people then, or even today want. I just knocked my water over for everybody who's listening in. And thank God for that, by the way. Thank God that he didn't send the Christ mankind wanted, but rather he sent the Christ that he knew mankind needed, and he was willing to send him, that being his only begotten Son.
Well, let's provide today a reason for why, you know, denying the true Christ and creating one of our own is the bad way to go. And right here from Matthew, we know right off the bat. Now, as you said, stop me as you are ready. We begin with verse 18 of the first chapter of Matthew under the heading of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth...
Stop! Right away, we're confronted with something. Birth. I loved in my catechism class to pose the question to my students, what is the similar element between Christ's birth and Christ's resurrection? And, of course, they have this puzzled look on their face. And, by the way, one of my students actually got it this past week. Life. Excuse me. God sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to give us life. But He did it through His life, His death, and His life, resurrection. So right away with His birth, we are confronted with the blessing of life. And this is the process, the means through which God brought Jesus, who was eternal, begotten of the Father from eternity, into our realm to identify with us, to take upon Himself our human flesh, so that He could be our Savior, whom God intended, not a powerful monarch or a strong soldier to lead a rebellion against human forces, but rather to lead a rebellion against and defeat the spiritual forces led by Satan.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If Pastor Hendrick is going to interrupt me, it's only fair that you call with a question or comment and interrupt him. Turnabout is fair play here on the Bible Study on KFUO. Or if you wish, KFUO at KFUO.org. Okay. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ.
Stop. You knew that was coming.
I knew.
You knew it. Okay. I've gained a reputation for being a catechism guy. What is that? What's that?
Captain Catechism.
Captain Catechism. Not to be confused with Captain Kangaroo.
Or Captain Communion, who happens to be Pastor Chuck Spooner.
Okay, there you go. Good, good. Today, I was mentioning off the air to Roland that my sermon this past Sunday dealt with this very element to a large degree, the dual nature of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where we segue from what we were talking about earlier, where some people want it one way or some the other way, and they don't get the fact that both ways are right. Some people want this person, we're going to eliminate the name right now, to be God. Some want Him to be man. If He's God, He's all-powerful, and He can serve me. If He's man, I can control Him and make Him do what I want. But guess what? It's both and. From the point of conception. Now, I want to read out of the Catechism, because I really can't do it justice. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. So He has been in existence from eternity, before time began. He was at the time of creation. He participated in creation. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it goes on to talk about the Word participating in creation. And now we have the Word coming onto the scene through birth as Jesus the Christ. Interesting. Why is He named Jesus? The name Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus is His personal name. Why is He called Christ? The title Christ, coming from the Greek language, this was on yesterday, I think, as well, or Messiah, Hebrew, means the anointed. Jesus has been anointed with the Holy Spirit without limit to be our prophet, priest, and king. Note, anointing was the way prophets, priests, and kings were set apart for special work. Well, in the Old Testament times, as was stated earlier, that was done with a sweet-smelling oil that was poured over their head and dripped down on their beard and all this stuff. I said because of my beard. But today, we are also anointed. We are connected with Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, through our baptism. And this also has other connecting significance as you get farther into the life of Christ. When He was baptized at the age of 30, which was a shadow of the anointing that occurred in the Old Testament, bringing Him into the public priesthood. Well, now I'm getting way ahead of ourselves. But the point is, our identity with Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one, is through our anointing with water and the Word, the sign of the cross on our forehead and our heart, and we now are connected with the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, whose life, death, resurrection becomes our life, death, and resurrection, thereby gaining for us forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Okay, I'll try not to stop you for another word or two.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way.
Whoa, stop. Interesting. Why is Matthew saying this way? Doesn't that sound like he's getting kind of snippy, kind of particular? Matthew was a Jew writing for his Jewish people. And he strove by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, to state things in an historically accurate way to help his people, the Jews, recognize who this Jesus Christ is, about whom Matthew has come to now know him as Lord and Savior. Matthew was a terrible person. He was a turncoat. He was a rebel. He was disliked by his fellow Jews. Along comes Jesus and shows him mercy and grace and says, hey, you, follow me. Become part of my band. And you then will take a lead later on in revealing me to others, which is what this is all about. So when Matthew writes these words that the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, let's not short sell that. That has great, great significance.
When his mother Mary...
What?
When his mother
Mary... Who is Mary? It's interesting that we have two genealogies recorded in the New Testament. The Matthean, Matthew's genealogy, and the Lucan, Luke's genealogy. One follows the human ancestry of Jesus through his papa. The other follows it through his mama. Luke does it through mama. Matthew does it through papa. Mary, a virgin, as we will learn in a few minutes, but not necessarily perpetual. Now, you know, our Christian cousins in the Roman Catholic Church are dead set that Mary was perpetually a virgin. And they also have some erroneous beliefs that Mary deserved this because of being such a good person and all of this. They refer to that as the Immaculate Conception. Guess what we Lutherans do? We also use that terminology, Immaculate Conception, but we give it its correct meaning. It is immaculate not in who Mary was, but in who God was, and he had the power, the knowledge, the foresight, the ability to take this lowly virgin and to use her womb as the transportation of this eternal son into a period of time. Mary is indeed significant, but we don't worship Mary. We honor her, we thank God for her, and we even emulate her to a large degree for her humility. Part of our liturgy, the Magnificat, which is words from Mary that she probably even got from her ancestor Rachel back in the Old Testament. I hope I've got that right. Who birthed Samuel? Am I right there? Well,
the wheels are spinning, but
okay.
Lights are on, but nobody's home. Yet,
well, actually,
I think you're on the right path.
Well, my path right now is more on the road, getting up in Minnesota. See, so
yeah,
I'm not clicking on all four six cylinders right now. But she got those words that revealed her recognition that the very son that she birthed was her Savior, and her need for that. She was a lowly, humble person. Okay, continue on.
Which takes us back, since we're making connections, and I love, the way you pastors do this. You go back to the birth that Eve has, and what does Eve declare?
Boy, tremendous. Yeah, this is the Savior. This is the one. This is the Messiah that God had promised. And on through that whole Old Testament line. Oh, I forgot about this. That takes us back to the name Jesus. That was a very popular name, not only at the time of Christ, but also in the Old Testament time. But it wasn't Jesus, it was Joshua. And Joshua is a name that morphed. It actually began with Yahweh, which is the anointed one, the covenant Lord, the Lord of our salvation, and morphed through the names Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah, and finally came to Jesus, the one who saves. So, yeah, all these things go together. It's great, you know? Oh, which also reminds us, by the way, who is the Bible all about anyway? It's all about Jesus. Yeah.
Hmm? Now, I just would note that at the rate we're going, 14 hours to finish this text.
No, I'm going to be up in Minnesota in 14 hours, okay? Well,
so we have quite a bit to get through here. And so much ground to cover. This really is unfair. You could take just verse 18 and spend an hour or two on this, because you touch on something else, Pastor Hendrick, which is just mind-blowing, and that is the God outside of time comes into time.
Yes.
The God
yes.
who is infinite confines himself to the finite.
And the God who came outside of time is the God who created time, and now he is putting himself in his creation, in that segment, if you will, in order to provide for us the grace and gracious and merciful gift of being able to eventually step outside of time and live in true eternity, which, by the way, we already have now. We just don't recognize it.
Right.
Okay, now I'm going to let you read a little longer All section
right.
now.
Now, we've got about 3 minutes till the break, just
okay.
so you prepare.
Okay.
Picking up again, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now, I'll make this one brief. Engagement. The first paper I wrote when I was in the seminary was on the topic of engagement. In this time, as it was in years past in our society, engagement was a legally binding thing. Today it isn't. Today it's just a flippant thing, maybe a time of planning for the marriage, or a time of to see, are we really compatible? Sadly, many people, even before marriage now, are cohabiting. That's the new thing now that is just running havoc in our society and in our churches. Couples living together before marriage. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, they were engaged, meaning they were already legally bound together as husband and wife, but they did not yet have the privilege of living together and sexing together.
Partners without benefits.
Yes, yes. That came after the public ceremony. Okay, good. Now, and it also gets us right to the point. Joseph was not Jesus' true father. The Holy Spirit was. Don't ask me how that happened. I just know it did, because Scripture says so, that she conceived this child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay?
And that is one of the things that you, if you want to talk about Luther being someone delightful to read just because he makes you think about things,
yeah.
you've heard Roland Bainton, another Roland,
oh, yeah.
has condensed Luther's Christmas sermons down into a little book that you can get from CPH.
I've got that,
And you read about how this conception took place, and Luther says that Mary conceived through her ear.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that makes sense. When it was announced to her, yes.
Because when God speaks, things happen.
And when God speaks, it is as good as already done.
And he speaks creation into existence.
You got it. Tremendous
so
stuff.
So here's Luther. You don't have to figure this out. It makes perfect sense.
And it's consistent. See, that's the thing about Scripture and about God. He is consistent. Scripture is consistent. Therefore, let's let Scripture interpret itself, which is coming up a little later also.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can reach us by way of email, kfuo@kfuo.org, because, you know, Pastor Hendrick, you can stream KFUO literally around
and
the globe.
And I do it. When I'm sitting in my office, I listen to you on my computer.
And if you have a smartphone that can use an app from the iTunes store, you can listen to us all the way up to Minnesota.
But then I'd have to be smart in order to operate a smartphone.
It's an on-off switch. That's all there is to
it. Oh, is that it?
That's okay.
Can we get this last statement in before we close?
Quickly, go ahead.
No, I mean just reading here. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly.
And
we'll talk about
back.
It on the other side.
We'll be back after these short announcements. Stay with us. It's the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio with Pastor Tom Hendrick. We'll be right back. Concordia Seminary has four core values, and one core value is excellence. People today demand the very best. Even people who ignore or misrepresent God's word of truth often strive for excellence. So shouldn't we strive all the more for excellence in our churches and seminary? Pastoral leaders will hold excellence high, helping invite people to the truth of our message.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
Hi, this is Paul Clayton for Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky, inviting you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics, Saturday mornings at 9:05 on AM 850 KFUO. We take a conversational and rather casual approach to Bible study on Wrestling with the Basics. And if you missed the program, remember you can catch it on demand on our website at www.kfuo.org. Wrestling with the Basics with Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky on AM 850 KFUO.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? I was thumbing through a new edition of the Farmer's Almanac the other day as I was waiting for a prescription to be filled. It looks like we're going to have a heavy snow winter. I have no idea how accurate this prediction is, but I do know that God knows what will happen. That's the most amazing part of the Bible verses I'm going to read for you today. They tell us about how a Christian congregation grew from one woman who sold purple cloth and a young woman who used to be demon-possessed to a Philippian jailer. It starts with two apostles in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer awoke, he saw the prison doors were open, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." The irony here is that the jailer probably wasn't interested in hearing about a Savior. But then something even more amazing happened. St. Luke continues, "And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family." It's been my experience that the things you just couldn't predict can result in God's mightiest acts of rescue for his people. Lord, help us always to ask you, "What must I do to be saved?" Help us then, dear Lord, to see that you are powerful to save us not just once, but every day. For we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is our light and our salvation. Whom then shall we fear? Amen.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our pastor this morning is Pastor Tom Hendrick from that great, mighty congregation down in Perry County, the manger of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Wait a minute.
I was going to give you the big build-up, and you jumped in a little bit too soon.
Oh, sorry about that.
Pop your microphone up. Well, anyway, it is a great congregation that you represent down there in Perryville, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. A lot of faithful KFUO listeners and supporters.
Yeah, and
we love and thank every one of you for that.
A lot of people that are filled with the love of Jesus Christ, people who desire to be Lutheran. That's kind of, in some areas, a waning thing today. You know, the Lutheran identity is oftentimes hidden by pastors, congregations, and people, There's no reason to hide it. My goodness, it's a badge of honor so long as we don't start worshiping the institution, but rather worshiping the Christ who serves the whom the institution serves, you know.
Now, you were a great segue artist.
Uh-oh.
Because you talk about hidden identity, and here we are talking about the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
Talk about your hidden identities. God in this little thing here.
In human flesh, yeah. Which we're going to come to in a couple minutes with another name. You know, what's in a name? But talk about hidden identity. Baptism. I mentioned it a while ago. We sprinkle water on that little child, speak the Trinitarian formula, which was initiated by Jesus Christ himself, and lo and behold, there's a change in identity. That child is no longer just an earthly sinful creature, but a member of God's heavenly family with a new name now, Christian, little Christ, one who is to emulate Christ, to cling to Christ by faith, and to follow Christ throughout life. Hidden identity, bread and wine, common elements, substance of nourishment and vitality, and yet Christ's body and blood come to us really, substantively, in the bread and the wine in order to give a certain assurance of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, to strengthen us spiritually, to equip us to get through this life unto eternal life. Yeah. Now, we closed off right at the close there
with that horrific, horrific word, divorce.
Oh, my goodness. Look at what a kind person Joseph is. I don't think it's an accident that Matthew put this sentence in here. I know it isn't. The Holy Spirit led him to do it. Being a just man, he knew what the penalty was for unfaithfulness, for adultery, and now he discovered that she's pregnant, so there's going to be a public stoning come about. Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, he didn't want to publicly embarrass, humiliate her, resolved to divorce her quietly, but he also was a man of the law, he was a man of justice, and he knew that this is not right. Ergo, we'll just do this quietly. We'll go our separate ways. But the next sentence is a great one. Okay? Something you want to ask or comment on there?
There is. Not to take any of the honor away from Joseph, but we know the rest of the story as the old line goes.
Correct.
But at this moment, Joseph doesn't know the
That's
rest
correct.
Of the story. The angel has not appeared
you
yet.
You got it.
So even though he seems like he's doing a very kind thing here, what would have happened to any other girl pregnant without a husband at this time in that culture?
Yeah, she would have been shunned. At best, she would have been shunned. At worst, she would have been publicly stoned to death for committing adultery. It's not a pleasant thing. Where was the forgiveness? Well, there was forgiveness in the promise of the Messiah. And today's forgiveness is still in the promise that has been fulfilled in the Messiah, and the promise of mercy and grace as we, by faith, cling to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
It is worthy also of your comment, Pastor, that as you look at how the pendulum of culture swings, this is extreme. If a girl becomes pregnant out of wedlock, stone her in the street, that's one extreme. But now we have... There is in this world this phenomenon of mothers who have multiple children by different fathers and so on.
No marriage. You know, of course, Jesus dealt with that too, with the woman at the well, you know. So there's nothing new under the sun. But as we were talking off air, the attitude now toward extramarital sexing, producing children, etc., the responsibility factor, the commitment factor, the honorable morality factor. I just read an article yesterday. I wish I would have brought it with me. I'll try to remember to email it to you. From a friend of mine up in Minnesota, talking about how today's generation does not know how to discuss things from the perspective of morality. It's all from the perspective of feelings. I feel this way about something. Well, how do you feel about this? And I wrote back to him, I said, you know, that's nothing more than a byproduct of bad spirituality and theology that has occurred with approaching the Scripture. One of the ways of approaching Scripture is, well, how do I feel about it? How does it make me feel? And that determines whether it's valid or not. Baloney! Ooh, almost had a slip of the tongue there. Scripture is objective. It interprets itself. And when we let this faulty method of feelings get into it, it's no wonder we're in an age now where everything else is according to feeling. And this was really in the context of our military. We now have leaders in the military and who are coming up who determine things no longer on the basis of objective morality, but, well, how do I feel about this? Let's see, I've been given a command to flip the red button and launch this attack. Well, how do I feel about it? No, no, no. And I don't know how we're going to get back away from this subjective approach to everything, back to objectivity. But it goes back to what you were just saying about men. And by the way, we focus in on the ladies. Guess what? It takes two to tango. Gentlemen, we have been given the responsibility by God to rightly live in a way that is according to His will. And it is our responsibility to take the initiative and the position to make sure that things are done right. Instead of blaming it on the ladies or making them the whipping boys of it, we need to understand and act appropriately according to God's will.
It was said in the past that the purpose of marriage was for a woman to civilize a man.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, Sally's done some of that with me.
Yeah. Well, yes. because we do have that sort of nature about us, and marriage and a wife will civilize a man.
Sure.
But now, you know, to not spin too far out of control in this conversation, but now we have the problem in our culture where it's getting hard to tell the difference.
You got it. And in fact, Scripture even speaks of, I just read it in my devotion a night or two ago, and I don't remember the exact quote, but how women, mankind is saved through women's childbirthing. Of course, you know, Mary with Jesus. And that's a sanctified thing when it is done in the proper relationship. A one man, one woman marriage where they are committed to each other, they take those vows before God and others who are present and one another to be man and wife until death parts us. Not until I don't feel like I want to be with you anymore, I don't love you anymore. Baloney. Back at this time, marriages were largely arranged not on the basis of how the man and the woman felt toward each other, but on the basis of family factors. And they made it work because there was a commitment. That's what's missing today.
But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I feel like Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. But that's from Luke.
That's okay.
Yeah. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Great. Okay. Now, a couple of things here, since we are really going short on time now. Interesting word, behold. Again, let's not overlook these words. The Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. The word behold, that's an attention getter. Wake up, there's something really important here. Pay attention. Back in Wichita Falls, there was a man who was the vendor for drinks and popcorn at all the Friday night football games, high school football games. And he always wore a shirt on the back said, pay attention. It was his way of witnessing, by the way. He had come to be captured by Jesus Christ after having been in prison for whatever, and now he was evangelizing in his way. And if people ask him, pay attention, what do you mean pay attention? That opened the door for him to say, pay attention to Jesus. Know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what Matthew is saying here. Pay attention, wake up, this is important stuff. What is it? Well, it's how Mary became pregnant. It's how what responsibility Joseph has. And in fact, it's interesting, too, that this angel of the Lord, not to be confused with the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, referring to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. But this may have been, according to a commentary I read, Gabriel. We don't know that for certain. But Gabriel seems to be the angel of God's choice to deliver major messages to his people. Joseph, son of David. Oh, wait a minute. Now I see why we had that genealogy yesterday. Because this is identifying, once again, David as the bloodline that was promised to come to Christ. And interestingly, and I know this was pointed out yesterday, but let's say it again. Who was David's wife? Oh, that's right. This lady that he had illegitimate sex with before marriage produced a child that then died. And now the second child was Solomon, through whom the bloodline to the Christ continued. What in the world is God doing using an illegitimate relationship woman to be in the bloodline to come to Jesus Christ? That doesn't seem right, but it is, because Christ came for all sinners. You, me, her, and everyone else.
Chief of sinners though I be.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Joseph, don't worry about taking Mary as your wife, because after all, listen to this, Joseph.
Go ahead.
What's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to the next sentence.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Great. Okay. Well, duh. If she's pregnant, yeah, she's going to bear a child, but what does the angel tell him? It's going to be a son. Now, today it's nothing out of the ordinary for mothers to know the gender of their child before birth.
You want to know what color to paint the room.
There you go, or what kind of clothes to buy and all that. Back then, that was an unknown thing. But Joseph was informed ahead of time. This is going to be a son. And you're going to, by the way, you don't get to choose, Joseph, what his name's going to be. I'm going to tell you what his name is going to be. Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. A direct reference back to Old Testament, where through Isaiah, it was revealed that this would be the Savior of the world, finally coming. Okay?
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet.
You got that behold in there.
Behold.
Now, before we hear what the prophet spoke, let's just see what's going on here. Fulfillment of prophecy spoken by the prophet Isaiah. What's important here is to realize again the role that the Holy Spirit is using Matthew to play. Matthew is taking the reality of Jesus, his birth, conception, birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and placing it in historical context relative to Old Testament prophecy. Of the four evangelistic writers, he does more quoting from the Old Testament, more documentation from the Old Testament than, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm guessing, than the other three put together, but certainly more than any of the other three individually. It is his purpose to say, look, folks, this is the prophesied, promised Messiah. So then, what's the message of the angel?
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name... Now, wait a minute. And they shall call his name... Now, just two verses earlier, it says Jesus. Now it says the name of your congregation. So you better be the expert on this one.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, you betcha. Go ahead and read the rest.
Which means God with us.
Great, okay. Now, I wish you would have read this differently. You read, behold, the virgin. No.
Everybody's
a critic. It is, behold!
Ouch.
Know, yeah. Sorry about that, Roland, and everybody else out there.
Warn me, I'll turn down the mic a little bit next time.
Now, this is the angel saying, you know, you thought I had something important a while ago for you to hear about? Now you're going to hear the big message. Turn it down.
Okay.
Behold, the virgin, reminding Joseph that she hasn't had any sexual relationships yet. You know she hasn't with you, Joseph, but I'm here to tell you she hasn't with anybody else either. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, this is the prophecy, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us in human flesh. In the Old Testament, personal names, personal nouns that began with or ended with E-L, a very important item. Notice this name, Emmanuel. Okay, anytime you find a personal pronoun beginning with or ending with E-L, it has something to do with God. That E-L is God, L. Okay? So, if you reconstruct this name, what it, and sadly, I am not a Hebrew good, I'm not good at Hebrew. But having studied about this, I realized that what it's saying is, this is God come to you in the cloak of human flesh. And that's very important, that word flesh, sarx. Sark. It's this stuff right here. This stuff.
Well, that reminds me of another word that we've heard years, that the Lord will come and tabernacle among
us. Yeah, exactly right. He indwells us, and in Jesus, God indwelled, coming to us in our flesh tabernacle flesh, in order to save our flesh. Now, let's fast forward. When the resurrection occurs, and it will, and no one's going to escape it, no matter what they've tried to do, we will be raised in this stuff. And if you could look in, folks, I'm grabbing myself, pinching my flesh. We will be resurrected with our real fleshly bodies, with one difference. They'll be glorified. No longer experiencing the effects of sin as we do in this life, however that might manifest itself. My crooked teeth, my bad vision, my aging aches and pains that I'm beginning to feel, cancer that people, diabetes, whatever. None of those physical maladies will be present. We will have glorified bodies and reunited with our soul to be returned for believers to eternal glory in heaven. For those who did not cling to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will still bow their knee at the resurrection and worship and honor Him, and then they're going to be sent back to hell. You know, I've often asked the question, what's the worst thing about hell? The worst thing about hell is not the flame, but the separation from God after having realized, oh my goodness, He was real. Jesus was the Messiah. Let me be with Him. No, sorry. You rejected Him in life, at death, and now you suffer the eternal punishment. My goodness, that contrast has to be far worse than anything else. And I see we're running short on time, so let's get this last part in, then we'll...
We only have a couple of dozen words left. Not a problem here. Not a problem.
Isn't this fun?
It is.
I tell you.
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Obedience. Three things there. Three things that he obeyed. First of all, he took his wife. He married her. Notice she was already referred to as his wife, even in betrothal, but he took her now publicly and married her. Number one, obedience. Number two, he did not have sexual relationships with her until she had birthed a son. Now, that's a very important clause there, because that indicates that there was sexual relationships afterward, which probably produced additional children, as is indicated in Scripture. Okay? Scripture interprets Scripture. And number three, he obediently named him Jesus. This is the Savior that all the other people who had named their sons Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, were thinking, maybe mine is the one. Maybe mine is the one. This is the one. Here he is, folks. What more is there to say?
Well, the other thing I note, Pastor Henry, this just crossed my mind as I was listening to you talk about the text here. God does not take the honor from Joseph. He is still an honorable man because the wife has not been with another man.
Right.
She gives birth. He has a marriage that comes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
If this were something else, if this were some other god or some other type of story about this, you know, it would be nothing to care about what the honor of Joseph would
absolutely
be.
Joseph would be just lost completely. Now, to a large degree, he is lost here as well. But as you correctly said, and thank you for bringing this up, he is given honor. He is given in the
he
right.
He gets his pure bride, much like
that's right.
So there's so much you
that's
can say.
That's right. And what a man! What an example Joseph gives us. I don't think that's accidental either. By the power of the Holy Spirit, all of this comes together not only in narrative, not in story, in narrative form, to reveal to us many, many lessons. The most important being the faithfulness of God to us, which now he calls us to be faithful to him and to one another, be it in worship, be it in marriage, be it in parent and children relationships, be it in pastor parishioner relationships, whatever. As God has been faithful to us in keeping his promise to send Jesus Christ to be our Savior, now he calls us to be faithful to him. Was it earlier today that I heard on KFUO driving up here, the first commandment, don't have any other gods in my face. I like the new translation, don't have any other gods, I think is how it is. I learned it, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, that made us think, okay, maybe it's okay to have other gods, but as long as we have the true God first. No, what it's saying is, I'm exclusive, I'm the only one. Don't compromise me or our relationship by having other gods on the side. Happened in the Israelites' history throughout the ages. And God never liked it, and he let them know it. But at the same time, he continued to hold to his promise to provide rescue, redemption, reconciliation.
So this obedience of Joseph is an obedience to the first commandment, because if he would have said, no, I prefer not.
Yes. All obedience, all commandments obey the first commandment. It's an interesting thing. Many people say, well, if I could just get past the first commandment, I'd have it made. And they're right. And they're right. If we could fulfill the first commandment, the rest of them would just fall in line like dominoes. Roland, we can't even get past the first one, which is what makes a stumbling block for all the others. Great, great text here. A fantastic reminder of so many things, but let's end it on this note. It's all about Jesus the Christ. That's where I ended my sermon last Sunday. That's where Pastor Marks and I constantly are reminding the people it's all about Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
Yes, yes.
That's Pastor Tom Hendrick. Godspeed and safe travels as
thank
you make
you.
Your way north today.
Thank you.
Congratulations again. Both my neglect also to congratulate you on the anniversary of your birth just about a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got about 30 seconds. Big events coming up down there in Perryville. The Sachs Memorial Festival.
That's right. Yep. We want everybody to come down there. Did I hear correctly there's going to be a viewing of the Walther film at that?
On the 8th, yes.
On the 8th, yes. Come down. We'd love to have you at Frohna, Missouri. If you don't know where that is, just plug it into your GPS. It'll get you there. And it's free. Donations. You'll see how the Saxon Lutherans sort of lived back when they first got here.
Just head south on 55, and when you smell the apple butter,
there
get
you
off
go.
The highway.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Pastor Tom Henry, God's blessings to you and your family as you celebrate this weekend the baptism of that granddaughter.
And I'll listen to KFUO up until I get about to Hannibal or beyond, then I lose it.
And we'll get you some training on that smartphone.
Okay.
Paul Clayton is up next with Ask the Pastor. His guest, Pastor Nathan Metter. That's always exciting and interesting. You don't want to miss it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll see you a little bit later this afternoon.
We thank you for listening to the Bible study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor coming up next, hour two of the Bible study on KFUO Radio.